Chapter 1. Jodi Carlisle's Wedding Crasher Rules.
Look the part.
A year to the day after she'd been dumped at the altar, and 2 days after her 30th birthday, Jodi Carlisle followed the advice of her cognitive behavioral therapist and crashed a wedding. "You need to do this," Dr. Jenna had said. "Not only to break free from the shame cycle you can't seem to snap out of, but also to stop being such a rule follower. Good girls finish last."
"You think?" she had asked, trying not to sound snarky.
Whenever she snarked, Dr. Jenna scribbled wildly in her notebook. "You're not enjoying life." Dr. Jenna steepled her fingers. "It's time for a change."
Jodi knew that.
It was the main reason she'd started seeing a counselor. That and the fact she was still having dreams of cheerfully strangling Ryan with a blue garter. He'd left her, stranded in front of 300 wedding guests, wearing a white gown and glass slippers like some deranged Cinderella, while he caught a plane to the Cayman Islands with a knock-kneed stripper named Chrysanthemum Green and several million dollars embezzled from the Stardust Savings and Loan. The glass slippers had been Ryan's idea. He'd wanted to drink champagne from one at the reception. He was showy like that. Hammering the shoes into smithereens on the back steps of the wedding chapel hadn't made her feel any better. So she'd picked up, and her "I'll show you" attitude that Mom sometimes called stubbornness and turned those wedding day lemons into lemonade. She'd marched back into the church to announce she'd been jilted and that she was turning the reception into an impromptu fundraiser for Dallas Children's Hospital. She'd then gotten on social media to ask people who'd sent gifts but were unable to attend if she could liquidate them for charity, and received an overwhelmingly positive response. In the end, what could have been a pity party turned into a celebration of life, and she'd raised $7,000 for the hospital. Take that, Ryan Amos. But even though she was proud of her in-the-moment triumph, whenever she heard the word wedding or came across anything bridal-related, her knees would lock up and her stomach would quake to the point where she had to brew herself some ginger tea. Believing it would soothe her wounds, well-meaning friends and relatives couldn't resist the mantra, "It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all." But if one more person said that to her, Jodi swore she was going to lose it. And that bothered her. A lot. She hated being controlled by fear. Hated that by doing so, she effectively allowed Ryan to win. It wasn't until her younger sister, Brianne, asked Jodi to be the maid of honor at her Valentine's Day wedding that Jodi knew she had to do something. Flooding technique, Dr. Jenna called it. Exposure therapy. The doctor had started small, asking Jodi to hold wedding-related items, garters, invitations, Jordan almonds, until she could do it without breaking into a cold sweat. Slowly, Dr. Jenna exposed her to more and more stimuli until she declared Jodi ready for the coup de grace, which meant attending, crashing a wedding. In retrospect, if she'd been smarter, she wouldn't have chosen one of the most high-profile weddings in Texas. But when it came to New Year's Day weddings, the pickings were kind of slim. And she'd always wanted to see inside the Grand Texan Hotel when it was decked out for the holidays. Unfortunately, she failed to fully consider the consequences of intruding upon the union of the lieutenant governor's son to the daughter of Betsy Houston,
one of the new owners of the Dallas Gunslingers baseball team. Hindsight was most definitely an ironic bitch.